next guest I am a big fan of, and I have been reading her columns in the Chicago Tribune ever since the hair incident. Her name is Heidi Stevens. Heidi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Yes, you went viral unintentionally last year because people were criticizing your hairstyle.
I have very controversial hair.
And you don't.
It takes up a lot of room in the studio.
You don't.
For three of us.
You have lovely hair, and nobody should be criticizing it.
Well, thank you.
And we want a list of names of people who did. We will shame them on the air.
It's a long list.
Right. Do you still get criticized for your hair?
I do, and I think that at this point it's from people who have been following the criticism and now sort of want to jump on it.
They're too late.
Yeah. I mean, even when I write about stuff that's fairly serious, a couple weeks ago I wrote a column about whether to keep raising my kids in Chicago.
Yeah.
With, you know, broken schools and, right, increased violence. And one guy wrote, if you leave Chicago, take your hairdresser with you.
That was nice. Like,
so.
Wow.
I don't think she'll go with me wherever I leave because she's happily ensconced in a high rise in the Gold Coast. But that's the kind of thing where I think it's just at this point like a little way to needle me, you know.
It's terrible how women get criticized, you know. It's they either go, you're fat or you're dumb or you have bad hair.
Right. Well, because I think there's still an assumption out there that the worst thing you can be is not attractive to men. That's the ultimate, like, heartbreaker if you tell a woman that, you know, she's not attractive.
No one wants you.
That's like, well, that'll kill her.
Right.
In, you know, meanwhile, there are 100 things that we care about a little bit more than that. But there is a thinking out there that, like, if I make her feel ugly, that'll really undo her.
That's disappointing. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, what year is it? Don't you have to scratch your head sometime and look at the calendar and figure out it's 2016?
Right.
And you wrote such a good article a while back. I don't know if it was on Father's Day, but you were showing your kids some older movies.
Oh, yeah. That was for Father's Day.
Bill, you would have loved this because it's like showing your kids. What movie was it? Was it Back to the Future?
Well, yeah, we started showing them some 80s movies. So Back to the Future and League of Their Own, which was actually early 90s, but and Big. Mm-hmm. And movies that we remembered, or I remembered anyway. My husband has a little bit stricter definition of good movies because he's a film critic.
Yeah, right.
But I remember them very fondly. And like they were very sweet, right?
Yeah.
And innocent almost. And then watching them with my kids, they seemed kind of crass and mean. And one of the things that I was able to, in my mind anyway, chalk that up to was like how different we used to portray dads. Men, but dads specifically, weren't necessarily portrayed as like, you know, sweet, involved people.
Right.
Right? They were like Mr. Mom, where it would be hilarious if they tried to rear their own children, bumble everything. Yeah, that would be like a plot.
It's impossible.
And that has changed so much, and that's the world that my kids know now. That to watch people, like, to watch men and women really not be able to relate to each other at all, and to watch men not really be able to relate to their own children was very, like, head-scratching.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Why is everyone so mean to each other, they kept saying.
Which is weird, a kid's view of what we thought were pretty sweet
movies.
Pretty
sweet, right? Yeah. I mean, I picked those specifically. It wasn't like they just happened to come on HBO that night. It was like, oh, okay, we're going to go rent Big. We're going to rent League of Their Own.
Yeah.
We're going to rent Back to the Future. You know, Michael went off to, like, Facets or wherever you can find those old movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not just, you know,
readily
Target
available
or wherever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think the culture's changed a lot when
and
it comes to
good.
Dads. For the best. Yeah. Totally.
Not only room mothers now, there are room dads. I mean, dads are more hands on.
Yeah. No, that was one of the things I said in the column is I have literally never chaperoned a field trip at my kid's school that there hasn't been a couple dads.
Oh,
with
yeah,
us.
Yeah. It's commonplace,
you know?
Now.
Yeah. Drop off, pick up. Room dad, as you said.
But you know what? Just as though there were movies, and there were plenty of them where a guy's trying to do the lawn or the wash, I mean, or make food, and it's bumble after bumble.
Yeah.
There were plenty of movies also where women were entering the workplace, like Working Girl, and everyone's like, right. I don't know if a woman could do this.
Yeah.
Is that going to work?
Yeah. What's that Diane Keaton one? She holds the baby like a briefcase.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Not that long ago. I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And your most recent column in the Life and Style of the Chicago Tribune, 5 things to do instead of body shaving, shaming.
Instead of body shaving.
Yeah, that's a good problem too, though. Think about it.
Don't shame children.
Some things to do instead of body shaming Kristen Cavallari's kids. Now, there was a picture of Jay Cutler, your favorite person, Bill.
Yes.
On the beach.
Mr. Completion.
Well, he does have, what, 3 kids?
Yes.
So he can finish some things.
At least 3.
Some things get completed.
Right.
But her kids are thin. And she posted a picture of them. And everybody was, instead of fat shaming, was skinny shaming
right.
her. What
right.
is wrong with people?
Yeah, where do we start? But on this one, so I guess, you know, she has a history of doing some controversial stuff, like not vaccinating her kids, right? And I think she's, I don't know if she's vegan, but she follows some sort of fairly strict diet. So people, I think, took those 2 things, mm-hmm. looked at that photo, and that one, like, oh my God, she starves her children. And all the comments on her Instagram photo became, you know, why can I see your kids' bones? That's not normal. You're starving them. She went through and deleted them all, left the picture up, but deleted all the comments. So you can't actually go back now and see what people were saying. But she did comment on it. She said, I had, you know, blocked more people today than I've ever blocked in my life, or something to that effect. You know, I it's such a useless exercise, right? And just mean. And I think that, you know, to go around judging other people's bodies when they're adults is one thing. When it's kids, it's like a whole other level of just gross.
And mm-hmm. mean.
And mean.
And like, if you see somebody walking down the street and their kid is either underweight or overweight, are you going to like tap them on the shoulder and go, excuse me, but what's wrong with your kid? Are you not? You're not going to do it in person. So why?
Right.
Why would you do that?
And people, I think, forget that kids hear the comments. I mean, maybe her kids are little and they're not on Instagram. I mean, I'm sure that they're not on Instagram, but maybe they're not reading the comments. But I heard from a whole bunch of people who said, I was a skinny kid and I got made fun of all the time. Or my mom would, you know, be asked in front of me all the time, do you feed her? Mm-hmm. Does she eat? And like, that hurts their feelings. I don't know why. I can't think of an occasion when it would really ever be okay to comment on a kid's body, really, in any way. Like, why would you? Other than maybe, you know, you're so strong. That's about the only...
Something positive.
That's about the only one I can think of. Otherwise, right. why do you need to tell a kid he or she is skinny or not skinny or big? Or, I mean, just, like, ask them what their favorite movie is right now. Or, like, why are we talking to kids about their bodies? Or why are we talking about kids' bodies? It just seems...
Wrong.
Exactly. So the column was, you know, taking a positive look at it. I can understand people's concern for children, right? So like if we're going to be positive about humanity, let's say people looked at these kids and were legitimately concerned, like, I wonder if they're getting enough to eat. Because, you know, you can look at someone's kids who aren't yours and still care about their well-being,
oh,
right?
Yeah, sure.
That's humanity.
Right.
So I suggested 5 things that you could do to...
Instead of
body shaming.
Yes.
Right.
Can we do this? Let's do a quick break, and then we'll find out what those 5 things are. You can stay.
Perfect.
You're staying. All right. We'll be back. We'll get more information about these 5 things that you can do from Heidi Stevens from the Chicago Tribune. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Bill, all we need is a little tenderness.
That's all we need. That's it.
We're talking to Heidi Stevens, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and 5 things to do instead of body shaming Kristen Cavallari's kids. And yes, her kids looked thin, but they didn't look like, you know, Sally Struthers should be helping them out.
I think they probably have enough resources.
They're doing it.
Yeah, I think they're fine.
Right.
So you had some ideas of what to do instead of criticizing and body shaming other people's children. Why don't you talk to us
about
those ideas?
Yeah, I think if your heart goes out to, you know, children and you're worried that maybe there are kids out there who don't have enough, it's pretty easy right here in Chicago to find kids who truly don't have enough. Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari's kids are probably not among those.
Mm-hmm.
But so I found five places that you could devote your energy, right, and your time and even your money if you're so inclined.
Your concern,
and it would be useful and even welcomed, unlike the Instagram posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Honeycomb Project was one example. It's like this great organization that connects families to volunteer opportunities, because a lot of families want to volunteer as a group, right? But you're like, can I bring my six-year-old to a soup kitchen? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Honeycomb Project specifically finds things that whole families can do together. So
oh,
very
great.
Cool. You can just join their mailing list and they'll send you opportunities. The Crib, the overnight shelter run by the Knight Ministry, a great safe space for homeless youth,
yeah.
And a lot of gay and transgender youth maybe who've been kicked out of their own homes or
yeah.
never going to go. They can spend the night there. So you can volunteer to serve breakfast there. You can mentor kids there. Greater Chicago Food Depository. They have this cool thing on their website where you can grocery shop right on their website. Like, you don't have to leave your house.
Mm-hmm.
You just go on there. You say, I want to buy jelly. I want to buy applesauce, some pasta sauce. Boom, pay, done.
And that's a better idea, because a lot of times people will whine and say, you know what? I don't have time to go shopping, and
right.
then drop it off there. What a great idea.
Totally. I thought so, too. Refugee One, which is actually based right here in Chicago. They are a refugee relocating agency. They're collecting school supplies for
mm-hmm.
refugee kids. So you can, you know, round up some school supplies, drop them off at their headquarters, or you can just donate $25 and they'll fill a backpack with supplies. So I think that's pretty cool. Tutoring Chicago, if you wanted to just go ahead and tutor a kid, they do one-on-one tutoring for kids grades 1 through 6, I think it is. And they're accepting applications now for the fall. So there's five things you could do that are all, you know, pretty great
Every
ways
Every one
to,
of those are good.
Yeah.
All
and
valid.
You would really positively impact a kid's life, or maybe lots of kids' lives, versus, you know, sitting around and saying that somebody's spine is showing on the beach.
Do you right
and it makes me uncomfortable.
Do you think that just by the nature of what we've become in terms of social media, most people think it's perfectly acceptable now to do exactly what you've written about, which is to see a picture of somebody's kids and go, well, there's no rules anymore, I can do whatever I want. If I want to take a shot at that lady or her kids, I can do just that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's where we are. And I think that it's sad, because it was always sad to do it to famous people, to me, because as we just talked about during the break, famous people are people. So,
right.
You know, they're not their characters that they play. They're actual humans with feelings.
Well, you brought up, I don't know if people know the story. We don't have a whole lot of time, but tell a little bit about what Jennifer Aniston has been going through, most notably in the press in the last week or two.
Yeah, she wrote a really fantastic essay on Huffington Post Tuesday that basically just called us out on, you know, following along with the tabloid obsession about her pregnancy. Is she pregnant? Is she not pregnant? Did she miscarry? Did she just eat a sandwich? Is she getting married? Is she divorced? Is she heartbroken? She's like this tragic figure.
Yeah.
And she wrote an essay that said basically, like, I'm fed up. I'm not pregnant, but I'm fed up.
Yeah.
And here's why. And it was really eloquent and powerful. And it was just a reminder that, like, you might live on a hill in Hollywood and have all the money in the world, but you still have feelings and you're still a real person who doesn't want her, you know, uterus speculated about, you know, 8 billion times to Sunday.
Her quote on this, which is just beautiful, and a lot of people have shared it on their Facebook pages: we are complete with or without a mate, with or without a child. We get to decide for ourselves what is beautiful when it comes to our bodies.
Yep.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
What about people who say that that's part of the trade-off of fame and fortune?
Yeah.
Do you buy into that?
No,
at all?
I Not totally reject bit? That. I totally reject that, actually. I think that, you know, you're going to have to expect that you don't have a lot of privacy.
Yeah.
I think you should be allowed to expect to be treated with some decency, though. I think, you know, expecting that your picture is going to be taken and that people are going to want your autograph. I think that, yes, that comes with the territory. Like, having to accept that, you know, if you show up in a swimsuit, people are going to shoot photos of you and then put red arrows pointing to them and speculating whether that's a baby in there.
Yes, is, Perez Hilton.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Not even a baby. A baby bump.
Right.
That's the phrase.
I hate that.
That's the phrase that must be used now
exactly.
for some reason.
That is gross and I hate that.
Yeah. As though she's not complete, you know,
right,
as she said, without a baby bump.
I just think people are so mean, and the only thing I can say to people is if you wouldn't say it to their face, please think twice about terrible texts you send us or, you know, tweets or anything on Facebook. If you wouldn't say it to somebody's face, don't write it.
Right. I agree.
All right. We've solved the one problem for today.
One problem solved.
Yep.
Three more to go.
Our work is done.
Heidi, thank you.
Yes.
I always do great work over at the Chicago Tribune. Greatly appreciated. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.